Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. It's time for the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. I have your host, James, behind the mic, joined by CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together.
We do.
It's a Thursday.
Friday Eve.
Let's use Friday. Yeah, it's Friday Eve. Well, it's going to feel like a Friday show because we got a lot of fun things lined up for you, everybody. Going to get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We have a new trend. We have to talk about people, the way they're asking for their drinks at Starbucks and some other places.
It's long.
It's yes, yes. The happiest and least happy states in America. We will get into that. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour with our pet of the week from the Southwood County Humane Society. Denise is going to join us. Looking forward to that. I have a little bit of entertainment news for you, Terry. We'll get to the audience. And I want to get into a couple of other things. In particular, what our favorite season is. We had a new survey that came out recently, and talking about that, we will get into what is our favorite season and why it is. We'll talk about that. Got some other stuff lined up for you. Good stories of the day, local events going on in our area, and of course, our schedule we'll get into. But we'd like to start off with an update on the United Way. And I know Day of Caring is right around the corner, Terry. How is that going, collecting volunteers?
Going pretty well, but we could certainly still use volunteers. Day of Caring is on Saturday, October 25th. If you're not aware, this is our raking event where we help the elderly and disabled in our community who don't otherwise have the ability to get their yards cleaned up for fall. So I'm certainly enjoying the beauty that literally just descended on us with these trees, right?
Like all of a sudden, like the last 24 hours.
I feel like all of a sudden one day it was beautiful. But I also am, you know, really hoping they all fall by next Saturday.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll do what we can do. Whatever has dropped, we will clean up. But we are still in need of volunteers. So if you can make yourself available the morning of Saturday, October 25th, we meet at Grand Rapids Lions Club, 8 a.m., breakfast, hot breakfast first, and then you go out and rake your yards. Give us a phone call or a text when you're done so we can check that yard off the list. We have 95 yards this year.
Wow.
We are not taking more yards, so that window of time has passed, but we're definitely taking volunteers. We do ask you to pre-register if possible. That way you can sign up for your t-shirt, and you do that by visiting our website at uwswac.org. It's the first thing that pops up on the home screen. And then you just click. If you're under 18, we do need your parent to just sign a waiver for you saying it's okay to rake. And basically, that's it, right? Like, you get an awesome, oh, I should have brought one to show you. They're cool. The t-shirts just came on Tuesday.
Yeah,
so we've got, we've got the Day of Caring t-shirts ready to go. You get one if you sign up to rake. And, we're looking forward to just seeing a sea of Day of Caring t-shirts out there that day. And, you know, this is just a morning, right? Like, we're not asking for a day or a weekend or a repeat effort. You know, this is just join us Saturday morning, 8 till, maybe noon. I don't even know if anybody really gets to noon, you know.
Yeah.
So we're very thankful for those who have already signed up. But again, we could always use a few more. And of course, many hands make light work.
You know, I've put in a couple calls to Mother Nature about these leaves and that situation. Hopefully we get some more leaves for people to rake up, or not. I mean we'll see.
They are beautiful. So if they stayed and then just miraculously all blew off on the 23rd, that would be fine.
See, that's a good way to do it. If you could work that out that way, Mother Nature, that would be perfect. I will email her after the show today just to double check. Just, follow up.
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
When it comes to this day, I'm with you, Terry. It's one of my favorite things about driving around town that morning, seeing just all these different spots of green shirts, which is what we'll be seeing this year. Well, whatever the color that might be that year. I've been a part of about three or four of these, and I don't know that anyone has ever gone maybe close to 2 hours, but not even really. I mean, and that's, if I'm being honest, that was because I was playing with Seth's kids were a part of it and everything, and I was hanging out with them a little bit. So it might have taken a little longer just because I was having fun with the kids.
Well, that's part of it, though, right?
It is part of it.
Make the pile, jump in it, then remake the pile.
I am only human. It's not even his boy's fault. It was me that was jumping.
You were
in the
instigator.
Pile.
They, yeah. Beth and Seth were probably like, James,
yes,
dial
yes,
it back,
they absolutely
dude.
Were.
Yeah. So
it's a fun part of this, though. It's something that you get to feel a sense of community that I don't really know that you get all the time. You're really a part of something that's bigger than all of us. And we're talking about raking lawns. It is something that may not seem like life or death or overdramatic to some people out there. It's important to everybody. But what's just as important and maybe even more important is this idea of showing that, showing where you are in the community. Hey, I'm a part of this. Hey, I want to be a part of these things. I want to help out my neighbors. I want to help out strangers, people I may never have met before, never even knew they were even in town, and I'm helping them out. And I don't use this word lightly, but I promise you, not only is the feelings you're going to get from this stuff that will stay with you, and you'll be able to tap into the rest of your life like, oh, I remember Day of Caring. I remember how good that felt. I guarantee you're probably going to want to do it again next year, too, because that feeling is contagious and it's something you want every year.
Yeah, and we want you to wear those shirts,
yes,
right? So,
yes.
I mean, we try. We definitely track the colors. We go a lot of years in between, you know, before a color comes back. Mm-hmm. Because I love it when I'm out in the community, you know, maybe let's say in April and I see somebody in a Day of Caring t-shirt. I think that's just really, really, really awesome. One other note is that this is a rain or shine event. Mm-hmm. So you need to, you know, you really need to think about that. And the forecast right now looks fabulous, like literally fabulous. I understand a lot can change in the next, you know, 10 days.
Sure.
But right now it looks really great. But it also, if you sign up and it ends up being a little bit of a rainy day, don't wimp out on us, right? Like think about that between now and then. If it is raining, what do I, you know, what do I need to do? Because again, we have 95 households that are really counting on us, and that takes the work of the, you know, a large selection of the community.
Yeah.
So the other cool thing about this is, you know, you referenced families doing this, right? Like adults bringing their kids. We have a lot of school age, like high school groups that, you know, maybe it's the National Honor Society or a club or maybe a sport, right? But they, you know, they organize as a team and come out. And then we also have, you know, couples that are just like, hey, you know, yeah, we can give a Saturday, we can help out. So that's one of the things that I love is that the volunteerism related to this event can be done by anybody.
Yeah, it's something that you're going to want to be a part of. Make sure to sign up for it, register early. That way, you not only get that T-shirt, but you'll have that hot breakfast to take you through the morning with you on the weather. It looks really nice right now. I almost guarantee, though, it's going to be decent no matter what, because just the way it's been, we're looking at really bad temperatures until mid-November from what I'm seeing. So should be okay regardless. And this is also a great exercise. A great opportunity to get outside, get some fresh air, and get some good exercise in. And one of the other like sneaky, wonderful parts about this is, say you do, you're at a lawn, you've never even been to this side of town, you haven't met this person before, you know him now, and you're going to make a new friend there. I almost guarantee you that you'll make a new friend doing this. It's a wonderful day. We want you to be a part of Day of Caring, Saturday, October 25th, right here in Rapids. Sign up at uwswac.org. And while you're over there, be sure to keep in mind that it is campaign season. It is go time with our United Way, and you can make an impact today by just helping out any way you can with donations and really an investment in our community. Head on over there, uwswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Terry, I did want to mention this real quick, too, before we wrap up, that we are collecting all Halloween activities, Halloween events. If you are a nonprofit and you have an event going on, we want to know about it so we can let our audience know about it. We are collecting these. Pam has gotten a bunch of them already. So not only will we be sending these, putting them out there for the audience and everything, but we'll also have our Halloween times coming up next week. If you have an event going on that you'd like us to talk about, email us info@wfhr.com. You can also give our front desk a call. It's 715-424-1300. Leave a message if we don't answer, and we will get your events out there.
You know, there is one event, as we're talking about Halloween stuff, that's this Friday, so I'm just going to throw it out there because it might be, you know, sooner than when you were thinking about announcing. But the Auburndale School Forest, so this is the high school kids, have their pumpkin glow, but it's this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the coolest
it's
events.
It's so awesome.
Last year, I think it was either 300 or 350. I can't remember. Jack-o'-lanterns. Literally.
It was like 350,
I think. And it's just, if it's, you know, if you can get there, go. Yeah. It is fabulous. It is no cost. They ask for, you know, a donation if you're able, yeah, or, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. But it is... it is really a cool, cool thing.
It's one of the things that I love so much about this time of year. When I'm talking, I've got a lot of friends and you know, fellow actors, teachers, different people that I know around the country. And when I talk to, especially a lot of my friends out west, they are so jealous of all the little things. Like, I'll mention these things in passing or casually, like the Historic Point Bot Spirit Walk or something like that, or the Auburndale, you know, kids and that. And they just blow up at it. Like, we don't have anything like that. Like,
Take a trip.
We get used to it so much around here, but in the Midwest, in particular here in Wisconsin, there is almost every week something going on that involves the season that just makes you enjoy the season that much more, I think. That is a good one. Yeah, I appreciate that, Terry. Thanks for letting us know about that one, or reminding us either way. We'll be back with the Elk Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right here on the morning show at WFHR. We're going to let them roll in the Elk Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at Elk Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Check out some of the great specials that they got going on over there. You can look at them right now if you go to elkcafewi.com. Bookmark their webpage. Keep up to date on the things they are doing. And, of course, these amazing specials. I do want to warn the audience. You may go there thinking, okay, I want pancakes. You get there, you look at that menu, and now all of a sudden you want a million other things. Just be prepared to understand that there is a lot of things to try over there. So you're just going to want to go back and back.
There's no buffet. Like, just order a selection and share. I love that. If you have like four people, right? Like, yes, everybody orders something different. If you're comfortable.
It was one of the better things in
eating
high
off
school
their plate.
Was doing that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. In high school, you don't care about that stuff as much. Yeah.
Do you care about
it
now?
I don't care. No.
Depends who
I
you're with, actually. But,
as I'm saying, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't care right now. I'm taking some of those fries.
Totally.
Get on over there. Check out some of their great things. You're going to find your new favorite meal over there at Elk Cafe. Head on over there today, everybody. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support our friends over at Elk Cafe, and get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Email us info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, whether it's WFHR or WIRI. And of course, call on up 715-424-2600. You can call up using the Civic Media app as well. You can text us those birthdays or anniversaries if that's easier for you also. And you can do that throughout the whole show today. Just get them to us. We love celebrating with you. Terry, I need a 1 through 3.
3.
All right, he gives us that qualifier. We get right into it here. First up, want to wish happy birthday to Kathy McGrath.
Oh, happy birthday, Kathy.
Kathy's awesome. Kathy's great. We appreciate Kathy. Joins us on the air from time to time here and everything. We really appreciate all the awareness and work that she's done, not only with butterflies, but with a teacher in the area for quite a while stuff, too. And
reading mentor for United Way.
Just an awesome person. Her and her beau. They're great people. We appreciate you, Kathy. Enjoy your day. And we wish happy birthday to Heather Stainbrook.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Enjoy your day, Heather. Hope it's a great one for you. And we want to wish a very happy 32nd anniversary to our qualifiers, Bill and Amy Seapel.
Happy anniversary.
Bill and Amy, congratulations. Hope you are a great one. Enjoy your day. And you're our qualifiers. Enjoy your anniversary. 32. That's great. 32 for Bill and Amy. That's fantastic. Enjoy your anniversary year two. And you're our qualifiers. You can thank Terry.
You're welcome.
She can't really see it or anything, so yeah, I don't know how much you can thank her, but yeah, thank her. Why not? We take a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with. One of my favorite players in the game today, as far as tennis goes, Naomi Osaka is 28. She's been in and out of tennis a little bit recently, and at the age of 28, as wild as it may sound, that kind of makes sense because you get closer to 30 and your tennis career is almost done. I wonder how much that's going to change going forward. We're seeing more and more in football older athletes. This weekend, we've got the Just for Men Bowl between Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. We're seeing it more and more where athletes are being able to stay in the game longer.
Maybe tennis just shifts to pickleball.
Maybe. I don't know. It would be great to see tennis players that do hit that age go into pickleball. That'd be fantastic. We'd have those athletes.
It's pretty similar.
I want to see John McEnroe playing pickleball. I want Well, I want to see that now.
I mean, it's a little less ground to cover.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's
fun.
What's awesome about what you said there is that it's not really far-fetched. It actually makes a lot of sense. I think that's good. And it's funny because I love the idea of John McEnroe just losing his mind on a pickleball court.
Yeah, like smacking the heck out of the ball. Yeah, and it's like a, you know, it's a little heavier than a wiffle ball. So like, you know.
Serena Williams just destroying a pickleball. Yeah, that's
like it
fun,
explodes.
Actually. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just destroys. John Mayer is 48. Say no such thing. Waiting for the world to change. Who says your body is a wonderland? John's got a handful of quite a few hits. He has been in recent years, and I think he's been actually doing this for almost a decade, if I have it right. He's been pretty much the main lead guitar player and singer for the Grateful Dead. He's been kind of touring with them a bit and doing a lot of work with those guys. Underrated guitar player. Fantastic guitar player. He's got rhythm. He's got a really good style to him. I don't really know his music that well, but Daughters I do, and that song will always get me.
Yeah.
That song will always get me.
For me, his music is kind of a mood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, and I'll just listen to John Mayer, and I'm like, oh, I like this. But it's not, you know what I mean? It's not my go-to all the time.
He came around at the same time a handful of other artists that I hear the same thing about. A lot of, like, barefoot acoustic guitar stuff, you mm-hmm. know, that if you're in the mood for it, you're going to like it. Wendy Wilson is 56, one half of Wilson Phillips, singer and the daughter of Beach Boy Brian Wilson. Hold On, Release Me. If you were a kid in the 80s, early 90s, you know who Wilson Phillips is. They had a moment there. One of the better bass players any of us will ever hear or see, Flea, is 63. Awesome bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also a songwriter, part of the band. And as silly and fun as Flea is in his career as, and he's a very good actor, by the way, too. He's done a really good job acting. Shows up in just random places and everything. He is, I don't want to call him a musical genius, but he is one of these music avant-gardes, like just incredibly talented. His bass playing is like game-changing. It's been different. Like a lot of the bass players he's influenced have picked up a lot of his style. He is like plays a lot of the brass instruments. There's a song that the Red Hot Chili Peppers have, Show Me Your Soul, I think. Yeah, Show Me Your Soul. And he plays trumpet at the end.
I was going to say, doesn't he play trumpet? Yeah.
When I saw them in Madison, I saw them at the Kohl Center some years back, and they are an incredible show, top five show of all time for me. At the end, they're doing the encore, and just Flea comes out with a trumpet and just starts playing and just wailing on the thing like he's been playing jazz for 50 years.
You know, now that you say that, we saw them at Summerfest, and I feel like he did that, maybe not that exact same thing, but like, you know, popped up the trumpet there, yeah, and I was, because as soon as you said that, I'm like, wait a minute.
He's kind of silly, and I don't know that anybody really takes him seriously, but if you strip away all that, you got a really talented musician right there. He's good. Tim Robbins is good. 67 for the wonderful lead actor. Tim Robbins, a perfect lead actor. Maybe I shouldn't say perfect, but he's a very good lead actor. You know him, of course, from the Shawshank Redemption, quite a few other movies in the late 80s, early 90s he was in. I don't know that they are anymore, but he was married to Susan Sarandon for a long time too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's a solid leading man. He's just a very good leading actor. And you know, Shawshank, I don't know that Tim Robbins is one of those guys that you would say, oh, one of the best you've seen or anything like that. But I don't know that I can picture anybody else in that role in Shawshank Redemption. Maybe because I've seen it so many times with him.
Same.
In it. I don't know, but he did a great job in that movie. Him and Morgan Freeman's chemistry was fantastic. Speaking of the Grateful Dead, Bob Weir is 78. One of the key members, I believe, founding members of the Grateful Dead. Touch of Grey, many hits they had. The Turner of Bachman Turner Overdrive is 82 today. Fred Turner is still being told to play the Taking Care of Business part. You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, Taking Care of Business, Let It Ride. BTO had quite a few hits. And let's see here. Some people no longer with us, like Suzanne Summers, born on this day in 1946. Chrissy Snow on Three's Company, had a couple of other acting roles here and there and everything. But I think a lot of people at least will remember her from certainly her workout videos and that kind of second act that she had from that. But Suzanne Summers, very funny actor. Like, she did a good job. She was, I hear a lot of actors talk about this when it comes to pretty actors or especially actresses, that oftentimes there's this fear that they're not willing to do certain things, when actually every one of them wants to do these kind of things, be put in silly situations, be the comic relief, because they don't get that opportunity very often. I thought Suzanne Summers, especially on Three's Company, really took advantage of that.
And not just, I mean, Plenty can be funny, but she timed out the dits, you know, like so well. It seems so natural.
As somebody who is still trying to find my own and teaches it, comedic timing is the hardest thing to teach in all of acting, period. End of sentence. There is nothing tougher in acting to teach. I've learned Shakespeare. I've learned defense. I have had to walk in high heels. I have had to do a lot of things as an actor. There's nothing tougher than trying to get comedic timing down and trying to make people laugh. It always will be the toughest thing about it. And Suzanne Summers had perfect comedic timing. She really did.
Yeah, she was great.
Unfortunately, got kind of typecast from that role. And really, she didn't want to just play ditzy blondes. So that's why she ends up starting to do the workout videos and everything, which ends up kind of working out for her, because she probably made more money off of that.
Although, you know what's funny? Like, in some of those videos, you know, she still did like the really high ponytail and stuff.
Yeah,
she didn't get away from her typecast.
No, I don't think so.
But I think that her following really enjoyed those videos, and she was inspirational. So, you know, it's all good.
And then there is Angela Lansbury, born in 1925, passed away back in 2022. Of course, Murder, She Wrote, Jessica Finch, Fletcher. I don't know if she was a detective, but I heard a good one the other day. Most famous detectives from TV and movies and everything. And I thought of her right away, but I'm like, well, I don't know if she just solved murders. I don't think she was an actual detective. I can't remember. I do know that my nan and papa loved that show, and I was thankful that they did, because I got to see one of the better actresses I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think everyone in that age group loved that show. You know, because it was, you didn't have 100,000 channels to choose from, and it was good.
She, of course, for younger audiences out there, they might know her for her voice acting. She was in The Grinch, and of course, very well known as the Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
But for anybody out there, and I think some of our older listeners out there may know where I'm going with this one, don't forget that not only was Angela Lansbury a great young actor, but she was beautiful. Holy cow. Like, if you have not seen young Angela Lansbury, whoa, man, that is a beautiful woman right there. That is a beautiful human being. The Manchurian Candidate. You get to watch the original Manchurian Candidate. It's got Sinatra in it. Angela Lansbury runs acting circles around everybody in that movie.
Well, and she aged very gracefully, too.
Yeah. Just a really beautiful soul, beautiful human being, and a great actor. Angela Lansbury, born on this day. We will wrap up our birthdays and anniversaries, but we want you to keep on the celebrating. Whether it's your birthday or anniversary or not, head on over to El Cafe and celebrate and enjoy a good meal with our friends over there. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Be sure to follow them on Facebook. Keep up to date on all the fun, cool things that they are doing over there. And again, congratulations to everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary. We'll be back after our break right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. There's apparently a trend of people taking carved out mini pumpkins to Starbucks and having baristas fill them with their drink order. This is a big trend right now. The idea is Starbucks lets people bring their own mug. So why not celebrate fall by using a hollowed out pumpkin as a mug?
That sounds disgusting to me.
Yeah. Videos are popping up on social media of people trying this, and the results are very, very mixed. I cannot stress that enough. I honestly did not see a whole lot of these working out.
So I'm just curious. You must have to use a straw then. How the heck would you? I know, but how would you drink out of that?
I don't know. So in the videos of people, there's videos of people that are just dragging this out because they're showing them buying the pumpkin.
Like,
we don't need that. Yeah. Show us how you hollowed it out.
Okay, so that's kind of cute with the whipped cream in it and the nutmeg going on top. But I don't even understand how you.
So I this brings me to something about Starbucks. Because I've felt this and I...
Oh, they have straws. Okay, sorry.
They do have straws, so that's good. That's a good note. I know that I'm not the only one to probably notice this, and I'm sure I'm not saying anything new here or anything, but the whole industry of Starbucks is basically built on image. It's just, you know, walking around, making sure that everybody sees you have that logo, make, you know, whatever the new drink that everybody is popular on TikTok or something like that. And so in that case, this is perfect for Starbucks because I don't think you really care what the coffee tastes like. You just want people to see you walking around with a mini pumpkin.
I mean,
I'm not judging.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I don't think Starbucks started this.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't think they do either. But it makes sense that their clientele would think of something like this because it's all about image. Yeah. It's all about, you know, I'm curious about how it tastes.
Now,
I actually want coffee to taste good. So I'm all focused on it, how this would taste coming
out
of a
pumpkin.
But
if you think about, because I was like, oh, that's gross. Because I think of it as like slimy. You know, like think about when you're scooping out a pumpkin.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
But I was also then thinking when I saw that whipped cream going on top, I was like, okay, so like if you get a, what if you get an iced pumpkin spice latte?
Mm.
I mean,
yeah,
put that sucker in there and give it a try.
This may be the ultimate way to have pumpkin spice latte.
I'm not doing it.
No, I wouldn't.
And just for the record, when I was there this morning getting a cup of coffee, legit, no pumpkin sitting on the counter.
Ooh, okay,
so.
All right. So it's not,
so I mean, it just maybe hasn't gotten here yet.
It maybe. Some baristas have heard of the trend and are willing to do it. Some are very even enthusiastic about it and take photos of themselves, while others, other videos, the workers had not heard of it and didn't want to do it. So they just gave the customer an actual cup and let them pour it in themselves.
Well, because you have to kind of wonder. And then, okay, now here's where I just went. What happens when you come in with like the 15-inch ginormous pumpkin that you can't even carry? How many cups of coffee you think you need to fill that?
I also wouldn't want to. Baristas, I mean, they're not paid that well, and they have a lot put on their plate. It's not an easy gig. I don't give me another thing to like try to. Actually, if the pumpkin is not taken care of well, and you pour the coffee in and it spills out or something like that.
Also, for those who maybe aren't thinking ahead, like don't carve the pumpkin. Just clean it out.
Oh, dang it! That would be something I would do.
You know there's one.
Yes,
you know there's one.
And it would probably be me.
And it's going all over the counter and all over the floor.
Yeah. Some comments are asking people not to do this because it slows everything down. It can be a little bit of that too. So keep that in mind. Context is everything. It doesn't sound like Starbucks has an official policy on this though. So, you know, they're not necessarily, you got to kind of play it by ear. Every Starbucks is going to be different.
It is kind of super funny.
I like the idea in theory and everything, but I like it more like do this at home. Make your own coffee at home and do it, I think. But I don't know. And so I wonder, too, how quickly it'll be before people start putting a Starbucks logo on the
pumpkin. I mean, they should.
They got it, right?
If they were good, they would just kind of chisel that in. You know, you can't carve it out. But then the other thing is you can't, they don't fit in your cup holder. Like, what is going on?
Oh, my God, that's right.
I mean, you might stay in the restaurant. I get that. Or in the coffee shop. But, like, you know, you take it to go, and then you've got
absolutely.
Like this.
Absolutely. Now, that's what would happen to me. I would probably be smart enough to not carve the pumpkin. But I guarantee you I would do this in a hurry. And I get into my Jeep, and I'm like, where do I don't. I'm, like, putting it on the passenger side, just, like, buckling it in. The taste part of this is the thing that I'm not hearing a lot of people talking about. Nobody's really commenting on the taste of it. I'd be very curious to know if it tastes pumpkin-y.
I feel like you have to put something pumpkin in there.
You gotta,
or fall flavored. You know, like they have a good like pecan flavor. You know what I mean? Like something like that. I couldn't put just a regular cup of, because I just drink plain old black coffee. Like I couldn't put that in there and then drink it.
I like pumpkin flavored things. The only thing that I've never really gotten into a pumpkin spice is just I always feel like I taste too much of the spice. Maybe this would be a true pumpkin coffee. I don't know.
Then, you know, if you didn't clean it out really good and you're sucking through the straw and all of a sudden you get one of those stringy
pumpkin guts. Oh, no, that's not good. No, you don't want that. I think it sounds super cute, though. It does kind of. I mean, again, in theory, in the way it looks fun. It looks cool. But yeah, I don't know. If you I don't think I'd try it. That's for sure. I might try it at home. That's different. I might try it at home.
I'm not trying it at all.
I'm not spending $10 on a coffee and then it turns out like it doesn't taste good in the pumpkin. I ain't doing that. But I do like the idea. It does look good. If you order a pizza, are you ever worried about missing the delivery because you fell asleep or you just are, you know, you're in the bathroom right when they show up or something like that? I will share this with the audience. When ordering food, I am like a dog waiting for the mailman to get there. I hate the idea of making delivery drivers wait. So I am constantly like, you know, and we got trackers nowadays and stuff to tell you, you know, when they're close or anything. But I am a dog looking out the window. I am like, are they here yet? Are they here yet?
And like, who doesn't take their phone in the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, in general, if you're expecting a delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
But put a note on the door.
Well, Grubhub knows your concern, especially if you're a college student. And Grubhub says 72% of college students have missed a late night delivery order sometime in the sometime in their college career because they have nodded off or they have just missed the call. They forgot about it or something along those lines. 72% of their orders, that's orders for college students. That's a pretty high number. So now they are offering snooze insurance. If you're a Grubhub student member, they're offering a, quote, makeup meal to replace the one that you slept through. It's not a built-in feature. You need to apply for or through their code and everything. And I think it costs a little extra a month, but it's something that they're trying out. They're rolling out and everything. It's basically just a marketing gimmick to advertise their student membership accounts, which are free to join if you're enrolled at a participating school. There are a few other perks, free or discounted deliveries, 5% credit on pickup meals and some other options right there.
How about set an alarm?
Yeah, yeah. It's available for students at more than 400 college campuses. It does sound like this is more strictly about gimmick, you know, and marketing and all that. But I actually feel like you're onto something there, Terry, because one of the things you're supposed to be doing in college is, of course, learning how to be a good citizen, jumping into the world, and all of those things. In the real world, you're going to have to make your appointments. You're going to have to make
them. Seriously, you order the pizza, however you do that. You text, you go on an app, you go online, you call. They say 20 to 25 minutes. Set an alarm for 20 minutes,
yeah.
Even if you're staying awake.
This seems insane to me. I don't know how this could even happen to somebody. I'm not even sure how you could order something and then forget about it or fall asleep after your order.
Especially when you're in college, because I'm guessing you don't have a ton of disposable income.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You spend $20 on a pizza or however much they are now. Like, I think you're going to be on top of it.
I know when I was in college, food was just the most vital thing. You took whatever you could get and everything. Like, I'm not, if I ordered food, I'm darn sure not forgetting. I'm too hungry to forget it.
Okay, now though, is it bar time food that's getting slept through?
I thought about that too. I was thinking about that, and for something like that, you're usually picking it up, or if you're hungry enough, you'll be awake.
Well, yeah, we had to pick it up or go through the drive through because there was no late night delivery.
Yeah, yeah,
we didn't have a choice.
We're old. I don't know. I'll give them credit on the marketing end of it. It's a fun idea marketing wise.
And if they have their their college whatever membership or it is a good way to promote it, right? But yeah, I just think that's kind of funny.
It seems a little silly. Yeah, we will take a quick time out. We'll come back. When we get back, we're talking about the this annual survey we do usually every year, the happiest and least happiest states in America. Coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour, we got Denise joining us with our Pet of the Week from the South County Humane Society. Looking forward to hanging out with her and, of course, getting you that Pet of the Week. 10 o'clock hour is also going to have some entertainment news. We are going to talk about what our favorite season is. We've got a new survey out collecting that and finding out, what's our favorite season out there? We'll get into that. And I got another one about the Hershey's lawsuit. If we got time, I want to get to. It's a bunch of fun stuff. All coming up for you. But right now, this annual study that we seem to touch on every year has finally come out. An annual study found the happiest states in the U.S. in 2025. And all 50 states were ranked based on 30 different metrics, including stuff like emotional and physical health, career satisfaction, unemployment, life expectancy, depression, sleep, and weather. So, not bad. A lot of factors in there, at least. The 10 happiest states in the U.S. are Hawaii, Maryland, Nebraska, New Jersey, Connecticut, Utah, California, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Idaho.
Wow. A lot of New England.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that, too. And not too much Not too much really in the South or out West. You know, you got California, you got Utah, but...
Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska. You don't have any Southern states represented here
There's
at
no
all.
Midwest either.
And no Midwest, yeah. The 10 least happy are West Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, Alaska, Tennessee, New Mexico, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Colorado.
So where it's hot and dark.
Yeah, and a lot of Southern states. But that in mind, right in the middle, the 25th state, which apparently doesn't really go either direction, is South Carolina, which is sitting right dab in the middle. So.
Interesting.
New Jersey is number one in emotional and physical well-being.
Really?
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. West Virginia is last. Utah is number one in work life. West Virginia is last there, too. And Utah is also number one in community and environment. Texas is last for that one. And certainly, you know, we anybody, if you've been in America long enough, you know, Utah, a lot of the residents of Utah. And I think that that's something to keep in mind with this, too, because that might add to this. There's a lot of like-mindedness in Utah, so maybe there's a little bit more of that, that camaraderie, or you will, or some of those things. But the list is interesting for the factors and the things that it brings up, but I don't know how accurate
it is. You know, New England is on my bucket list.
Mm.
And now hearing that, you know what I mean? Like, it piques my curiosity even more.
Yeah. Well, it's a smaller state. You definitely don't have as many people in it and everything. So yeah, maybe there's just a little bit something to that. I don't know. It definitely is eye-opening to me, the least happy states, and to see so many Southern states represented there. And it feels like a lot of the times we're doing these surveys, our Southern states are the ones that are getting hurt the most, or getting hit the most, at least, by a lot of this stuff. So I thought that was noteworthy. That was interesting. And as far as the happiestness goes around here in the Midwest, how are we looking? Well, Minnesota just finished right outside the top 10 at 11. Iowa, 17. Indiana at 34, a little ways down the list. Michigan right behind them at 35. Illinois sits at 22. And Wisconsin is right at 20. So not bad at all, especially out of 50 states, 20th, not bad at all. But I feel like that's exactly the way it feels in Wisconsin to a degree. Like it's not bad, it's not good necessarily. There's this great in between for people that there's a lot of things you like about the state, and there might be a couple things you don't. And that's kind of living. That's wherever you're going to be.
And you said weather was one of the factors, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess I'd be a little curious of the timing of this, because if you do it in, you know, mid-February when it's just been cold and blah, you know, maybe people are like, no, I don't like it.
Right. And how many of these, that's such a key factor of this that we never really get the details of. And I understand they're blind surveys, so you can only get, I collected this many votes here, this many votes there, or something. It would be interesting and kind of noteworthy, I think, because everything is context.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting.
If a person who likes where they live and is answering this, they're probably going to answer pretty highly on their things, and vice versa if they don't. So it could be it feels like it could be skewed one way or the other, but there is, numbers don't lie. So there is something to be said for some of this data. And again, I think, when you're looking at a lot of our happier states or our sadder states, as it will, I think it's noteworthy, interesting. And I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know how much you can really bet. I get on this one. I will say though, when it comes to, like we've talked about this before on the air and stuff, I've only been to Minnesota maybe 10, 15 times in my life, you know, which doesn't feel like a lot considering how much traveling I've done. I've never ran into anybody in Minnesota that was a jerk. It just hasn't happened. Now, I've been there mostly as a tourist. I haven't been there a whole lot as I've never lived in Minnesota. And I am positive that like every other state, there's jerks in Minnesota. But I don't know. I mean, they're good people, nice people. You know, they may have bad taste in sports, but decent people, at least as far as I've run into and everything. And when I was in the Carolinas, same thing. Like I spent 3 months in two and a half months in South Carolina, North Carolina, visiting my aunt and uncle when I was out there, and everybody I ran into were just kind, just good people.
Did they all say bless your heart to you?
No, I didn't get a whole. I was actually.
I just want to make sure you know that's not really a compliment.
When I was,
you're reading it wrong.
When I was, it was, oh, that's how they meant it. When I was out there, I was like 15, 16, something like that. I was, oh, actually, I was thinking, oh, I was even younger. Yeah. I was even younger when I was out there. And that might have played into it, too. But I was dying to get, like, I wanted to learn Southern accents so I could do a Southern accent. So I would ask people questions and just get people talking.
Funny.
And I did not realize in South Carolina, and, you know, I'm sure this is a case-by-case thing, they don't have a very deep Southern accent in the Carolinas.
No.
So I didn't get a whole lot of what I was looking for, but great people.
There's a little bit, though.
And I know California is on here for the happiest states and everything. That's definitely a case-by-case thing, because it was hit or miss for me when I was living in California. I spent a lot of time in California, maybe the third most state I've spent the most time in. Illinois, Wisconsin, then probably California. Texas is probably in there, too. Texas, I felt like people are doing their thing. Like, they're doing their thing. If you're in a bad mood, okay, that's you. I'm over here doing this. And California felt a little more opposite of that, where I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to make sure everybody...
So you better be, too.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I don't know. It teach their own, and everything's a case by case. I don't know how accurate this is, but I will say, my time in Wisconsin, I think I run into more happier people than I do done that I don't.
Oh, feels yeah. Like it. I feels think like so, it. Too.
And let's take a look at this one, Terry, because we don't get a chance to do That Ain't Right stories very often anymore. We just don't get as many of them. We don't have the time that we used to.
Did Florida drop off or what?
We're actually going opposite. We're going to California. Yeah, Florida completely dropped off. They got rid of all of our That Ain't Right stories. Thanks a lot, Florida. California Highway Patrol officer stopped a vehicle found to be driving with a fake license plate. Nothing new there. We've heard of fake license plates before. But have you ever heard of somebody doing this with a hand-drawn license plate? A hand-drawn license plate to resemble an official California plate. The CHP's Merced station said on social media that an officer pulled the vehicle over when he noticed, quote, something unusual about the real license plate.
I mean, not the sharpest tool in the shed, huh?
No. Upon a closer look, it turned out to be handmade. They shared a photo of the license plate, which featured hand-drawn letters and numbers, as well as the state's license plate logo and a fake registration sticker. Quote, we'll give the driver points for creativity. That does not help, though.
But you still got to register your car.
Yeah, yeah. That's so. There is a picture of this here, Terry, I don't know how well you can see it, but I feel like the driver, you know, for what it's worth, they tried.
I mean, but, yeah, probably an A for effort there. And if you were just zooming through with other cars, I mean. I can see how it would get overlooked.
Yeah. They went too fancy with it, actually. I think the numbers and the letters are too fancy-ish. I don't know. Maybe they've changed them since I was out there, but it's almost in italics, like it's slanted. And I don't know that license plates do that. I don't know. I agree with you completely that, you know, driving on a highway or something, especially in California, they got 10 lane highways and stuff.
Of course, if it's just regular grade paper, it's probably flapping in the wind.
That's the other thing. I mean, how do you not use cardboard?
Put like, some what is it on?
Like, yeah. You're going to do this, go all in.
I mean,
spend a little more time on it and everything. You took all the time to draw it up. That's another part. So they took time on this. It took them time. They put effort into this. They thought they had a good plan. I almost guarantee they weren't on the highway for more than 5 or 10 minutes before they were pulled over. Like the time they put into this and the energy and effort they put in, no way that they've been like getting away for weeks with this.
I mean, I guess the question is the time you put in, the value of your time equal to the value of the car registration? Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. It feels like it might have been a good idea to just get it registered. I don't know, but that is a definitely that ain't right. That is a definitely that ain't right story. Wanted to remind everybody of we got a bunch of entertainment things going on in our area. One of them is happening tonight. It is opening night for Variety Productions Rumors, this wonderful Neil Simon play. Tickets are on sale right now. You can get them at the front door when you get there. Otherwise, you can get them at VP. You can email vpjgtix@gmail.com. You can find out more by, you know, reach reaching out to us and we'll get the email to you, everything. This will be taking place at the Jensen Community Center in beautiful Amherst. They got a show tonight at 7. Then on Saturday, they have a 2 o'clock matinee and then the show at 7. This is the essence of community theater. This is the essence of buying local, supporting local, supporting the arts. Check out Variety Productions Rumors going on in Amherst at the Jensen Community Center, 487 North Main Street in Amherst. Get your tickets. Got a show tonight at 7, 2 o'clock matinee on Saturday, and then they wrap everything up with a show on Saturday night. Taking a show, maybe get some dinner, and taking a great production. There is no bad version of Neil Simon's Rumors. I don't care if it was going on in a grade school. It's going to be great. It's going to be very weird, be very interesting, but it's going to be a good one, and they got some great actors in this one. Be sure to check that out, everybody. We'll be back with more show coming up.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.